Welcome to wherever you are. I'm Ryan McNeil in Toronto, Canada, and you're listening to Wicked Little Town. This is a series of matinee cast podcast episodes dedicated to the goings-on at TIFF. That's the 36th annual Toronto International Film Festival happening right now in my home city. We are live, as you may have heard. We are live coming from a Friar and Firkin, which is not far from the Scotiamount Parabank Theatre.
I'm voting
Queen
for Parabank.
And John. Parabank, all right. And sitting right next to me is a voice you might recognize. She was on two episodes ago. Beth Beard, the Danger Girl, has returned. We're also being audited by some friends of ours who have promised to stay quiet. We'll see how that goes. Say hi, at least, guys, so they don't think I'm making it up. There we go. We've just come from Extraterrestrial.
Uh-huh.
This was directed by Nacho Villalondo, which I love saying that name. I almost
you just kind of want to punctuate it with ole.
Yeah. And this film is Extraterrestrial, which I don't know about you, Beth. I certainly know for our friends, but I don't know about you. This was kind of a bait and switch.
How so?
How much of the synopsis did you read?
Well, I read the whole synopsis.
And did it describe what we just saw to a T?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Well, I thought so. I mean, I was expecting it to be a bit of a comedy.
Okay. Which it is.
I mean, the little one-line premise of the movie is a couple wake up groggy and hungover from a one-night stand that they can barely remember to find out that aliens have invaded the world.
Right.
I thought this is going to be funny. It's going to be interesting. I'm surprised how funny it was. Honestly, I thought it was brilliant.
But what's missing from that statement? What didn't we get in this movie?
Well, we didn't.
How's everything back here, guys?
Very good.
Great. Thank you. Well, they invaded, but we didn't actually see them.
That is the
weirdest. Which I think is actually part of the brilliance of this, because it is about the people. It's not about.
Well, it's like, don't get me wrong. Like I was really, really having fun watching this kind of almost a episode of Three's Company of a situation that they're trying to solve with the specter of a flying saucer hanging out over Madrid. But it was a little. I don't think that our audience quite expected what they got.
But I think everyone was happy with what they got.
This is true.
It's like the Rolling Stones song.
Can't always get what you want, but
you get what you need. That's what
there
I was going for.
Okay. So,
except that I was very satisfied by this movie, so that's why I kind of paused and
okay.
that thought.
So we had Julio and Julia.
What a coincidence.
What a coincidence, yes, which they can't remember their names at first, which is.
Well, she can't. It takes him three tries.
It still takes him a minute, too. But at least he gets it when she first
tells him. Yeah, when she tells him, he's got it.
And they wake up in Julia's pad to find out that there's no cable, no internet, no nothing. And when they look outside, they realize there's this gigantic flying saucer. But then the situation really becomes how they're able to, A, keep the whole situation of their one-night stand from her boyfriend, Carlos.
Who walks in the door.
Yeah. And B, keep her neighbor, Angel, her very, very pesky neighbor, Angel, at bay.
Her own personal stalker.
Yes. I had fun with this.
I had a blast with this. Justin had asked me if the subtitles were accurate. I think they were. I didn't actually pay that much attention.
You are rather fluent, far more fluent in Spanish than I am.
Yeah.
Like, my Spanish stops at cerveza.
Which is adequate.
And por favor. Which tends to make the cerveza.
Makes the cerveza
comes quicker.
Uno
yes.
mas, yeah.
Right. So how was it? Like, so you weren't even reading the subtitles?
Occasionally I'd glance down because they'd have like their own little idioms that, because I've never been to Spain, so I was just double checking what they'd say.
Mm.
I thought the comedic timing of this was so good, and I don't know if anyone else has seen his first movie, which is Time Crimes.
We didn't even mention that.
Very different.
Oh yeah.
very, very different from this. I mean, this is night and day as far as... But I think what that movie had and what this movie has is it shows this is a director with excellent timing.
Yes.
Like, he knows how to pace a story and pace it well. Not too fast so it gets swept away from you and it never lags.
See, but that was the funny thing. I think I was expecting more of Time Crimes. And again, not to complain about what we got, it's just anytime you're caught off guard...
You expected it to be more dramatic?
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to be quite so farcical.
Yeah. Because it wasn't slapstick, but it was definitely... It was a laugh a minute.
Certainly for you.
I did howl.
If you were at this screening, the girl in the front row, sitting right next to me.
Carmen laughed too, and I think that was something was... We all seemed to... She and I seemed to be laughing just at like a half a beat earlier.
Than everybody else?
I think our group laughed about a half a beat earlier.
I've never been prouder to be sitting next to you guys. I never once thought about moving over a few seats.
There was one point where we just started hitting each other.
At a screening where I knew everybody.
There was a point where he pulls out that roller and she and I just started hitting each other going, oh my God, it's the cop, it's the cop.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's fantastic. So now, was there anything that really didn't land for you with this movie? Which I think is a dumb question.
I can't say that there is. I think it was such a complete story. I'm very happy or very comfortable with movies that don't bring a final conclusion. I'm okay with a storyteller letting me imagine my own ending.
Okay, so not to spoil things too much, but the ending is... It's not ambiguous, but it's open.
It's open. It's definitely open. You're able to... Yeah.
Well, I did find that... Sorry to jump in. He told the story he was telling.
Yeah.
There was still a lot going on.
Yeah.
But, you know, he managed to wrap up the story of Julio and Julia and Carlos and the poor, obnoxious angel.
Yeah, because one mystery that's never solved, I mean, when they wake up, they're in a ghost town. Everyone's been evacuated but them.
Right.
You never find out where they went.
No, but that's the thing. That was what I was expecting. Where did that movie of where everybody went, where what these aliens want, that was the movie I thought we were going to get in some capacity.
Mm.
Which, again, I know this sounds like I'm bitching. I'm really not.
Yeah.
But it's... I know a lot of people are taken off guard when they see a trailer and they get something different, or when they see a poster and they get something different, or when they read a synopsis and they get... And I think that was just my thing. I went with it. I was cool. That was great. But that's the thing, is that if you saw Time Crimes and you're expecting more of the same, no.
No.
This is a very different movie. A very good movie. You know, it's very cheery. Even though it's just, as I said, it's kind of...
I wonder if it's a North American tendency, though, that we're expecting, or we're wanting to get what we paid for. But well, not everybody is always very happy with surprises.
Maybe. Like, it could just be that, you know, you go to a McDonald's, you know what a Big Mac is going to taste like.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that just generally, as far as my frame of mind go, any movie I see at TIFF, I'm in for the ride. Right. Whatever. I've read a synopsis, but wherever you want to take me, I'm with you. I have a huge suspension of disbelief.
Right. Now, we should also point out, because I'd be remiss if we didn't. We don't really want to spoil the whole thing, but in the introduction, the director, Nacho, mentioned a tennis ball scene.
I almost spit soup all over the table.
And my phone.
That was fantastic.
We all thought he was joking because he said,
he
said you can,
it.
What did he say? You can
he
laugh
said,
at the tennis ball
said,
scene
I
and
want,
be,
yeah, I
and
want
be
you to
shocked
feel comfortable.
At the rape scene.
Yeah. I'm and then he goes, just kidding, there's no tennis ball scene. And then the scene comes up and you see what he was talking about with tennis balls. And it was brilliant.
Yes, it was
so very clever. And I think that's the thing is I what I really liked about the movie is there is not one single cheap gag.
No.
All of them are well timed and clever.
Yeah.
And it's a very witty movie.
It is.
Even in each character's individual ignorance or knowledge.
Yeah.
Every realization is cleverly done. He's never gone for a cheap laugh. All of them are very, very...
Agreed. Now, well, I think I probably... I'm going to go back and watch this again when it's released.
Oh, yeah.
Not just because I liked it, and not just because it'll give me a chance to dig in knowing what I'm getting, but also... I did a four film day yesterday. I was a little tired. There were some jokes I missed. I heard you guys laughing, and you know my eyes snapped open.
Oh,
well, that's a problem. It's because the
dialogue. You did the Midnight Madness.
That's right.
And what time did you start today?
I started about 9 o'clock. So I was going on about 4 hours sleep, 5 hours sleep. So of course, this wouldn't be a matinee cast without five questions.
Right.
But this is Tiff. So there are five different questions, which is a good thing because you've answered both the original five and the second five.
Ooh, that's right, I have.
That's right, you are a two-time guest. You are now a three-time guest. So I will make apologies because Beth is on the spot. Usually I give people a chance to kind of mull over their answers.
Okay, let me get another drink then.
Okay. Now, you haven't been doing TIFF for too terribly long, so a lot of these
answers... This is only my third year.
Okay. I didn't even think it was your third year. I thought it was only your second.
My first year, I only did three movies.
Your first year, I didn't go. That's where I'm going.
That was the year you got married.
That's
Hello,
right.
Lady Hatter.
So, Beth Darling, what was the first film you ever saw at TIFF?
It was Suck.
And how'd you like that?
I loved it. Malcolm McDowell plays a character called Eddie Van Helsing. How can you not love that?
Yes. It's a it's a Canadian rock vampire movie.
And it's... Oh, who did it? Oh, how awful.
Rob Stefaniak.
Yes. And I didn't like his first movie.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Like, like 10 minutes in, Phil the Alien.
Oh.
Exactly. See?
With,
no, he completely redeemed himself. I love Suck.
Yeah,
I think he's delightful.
Me too. Jessica Perret from Mad Men. This is from the last season of Mad Men is in that.
Yep.
And I like to play Spot the album cover. Because
yes.
There's about four or five moments where they directly reference an album cover. So you enjoyed it. That was a great baptism into the world of TIFF.
TIFF did a lot of really interesting stuff at Yonge Dundas Square that year.
I remember.
And so they'd actually had a rock concert, and they brought in some of the bands that they'd featured, some of the Canadian bands that he'd featured in the soundtrack. They had a rock concert beforehand.
Yep.
And then we motored our way up there and watched the movie at the Varsity. That's where it was screening. And it was fantastic. It was the best way to start my TIFF experience, I'd
say. Very cool. Not including extraterrestrials, what was the last film you saw at TIFF?
Last night I was at the premiere for Comic-Con.
Oh, okay. Tell us about that.
I thoroughly enjoyed that, too. I'm actually two for two in the success column for my picks.
And tell people what that was about.
It's a documentary that Morgan Spurlock did on the big San Diego Comic-Con convention.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually put out a casting call, which made it a little more interesting. So he's actually following seven different people in their storyline and their experience. He's not in it at all. He's behind
Which
the scenes
I think is
completely.
A good thing.
And I really enjoyed it. He's got some interviews with some pretty Kevin Smith, obviously, Guillermo del Toro, Joss Whedon. He's got a lot of like hierarchy in the comic book industry are making cameos in it, all giving their own little testimonies almost about fandom and geekdom and what the con
is. But is there anything to this doc that we don't know?
Well, I don't know. I've never been to Comic-Con, and I don't do well in really big crowds, so chances are I'm never going to go to Comic-Con.
Okay.
So, for me, that was really delightful and interesting, and I like the fact, like, some of the storylines that he covers, one is an artist that's going down there with a portfolio who's actually working in the Air Force, and he's hoping to switch careers. He wants to draw. And so they follow his little journey about trying to get his portfolio seen.
Huh.
And when it... You just start rooting for these people. Like, you want their success. He's done a very good job at really making you feel for these people's stories and the excitement as much as they are. So when this guy meets... I can't even remember which comic book company he ends up meeting with. And the guy's like, oh, God, I love your work. I love it. I've got to do a book with you. You're fantastic.
Spoilers.
And then he takes the book to another comic book. Well, it's not that big a spoiler because they're big names and I'm not knowledgeable.
Right.
So, I can't remember who, but they start freaking out. He goes, oh my God, your Hulk's the best I've ever... They just start... And then in the little postscript, it turns out, yeah, he got work.
Nice.
Yeah, so they've got, you know...
So it's good.
It was good. Okay. It was delightful. And it was fun because Fan Expo did... they did a call for cosplayers. So they had everyone come out in costume.
Of course they did.
So it was just a very fun experience. And it was well done.
Nice. What's the worst film you've seen at TIFF? Because they are not all winners.
They're not all winners. I went last year, God help me, to a city to city. And the premise was fascinating. The premise was...
I remember this.
The premise was...
was this not your answer? Sorry, was this not your answer 2 episodes ago for the worst film you've ever seen?
No. Okay. The worst film I've ever seen is Master of Disguise.
That's right. Okay. I'm sorry. Continues.
So this distraught woman walks into a wig maker shop and sells her hair, and the wig maker becomes fascinated by her and starts to follow her. And
sounds fascinating.
Fascinating. That just in a Muslim culture, how interesting would that be as far as how that the dichotomy of that plays out? I sat there getting angrier and angrier because Cameron Bailey picked this movie for the city to city. That was in our little intro. Mm-hmm. How excited they were that it was here. And I sat there getting more and more angry that Cameron Bailey sat through this piece of schlock and thought, yeah, I can charge $20 a ticket for this. I have a huge suspension of disbelief, and I am very forgiving for bad movies. I sat through Master of Disguise. I walked out of this one. Wow. I can't take it any. I could not take it anymore. There was an 8-minute scene of him standing, looking out of a window, smoking a cigarette. I know smokers. They don't take that long.
I was going to say, can you make a cigarette last 8 minutes?
They did.
Wow.
Oh, it was awful. It was so bad.
What, in your 3 years of doing TIFF, what's a screening you missed that you really would have liked to have been at? Because, again, we pour over the schedule for days, hours and hours, and you just can't make it all fit, and inevitably you have a regret.
Yeah, and I've been very limited. Last year I did 19.
Right. Year before that, you did 10.
No, the year before that, I only did 3.
Oh, there we go.
This year, I'm doing 10.
Atta girl.
One I regret seeing.
Missing.
One I regret missing. I don't think there has been yet.
No?
Probably only because it's been very limited, and because what I have seen is, except for that one.
Right.
I really liked.
Okay. Well, that's good. No regrets. Good.
I mean, I think probably anything has been just...
Are we doing all the way back here,
guys? Very well, thank you.
Just the energy level of an opening crowd. Like, it would have been fun to...
Okay.
To probably be at the first screening of... you know what? I think probably it would have been... There are movies that I know came to festivals before I'd started going that I probably regret seeing.
So like Pan's Labyrinth, for instance.
Yeah, like I regret that it's taken me this long to start going to the festival.
Okay, good answer. I like it. And kind of counter to that, the last question. What is your favorite TIFF experience to date? At all. It could be a movie, could be meeting somebody, could be something that happened within the framework of the festival.
Well, you know what? Nacho, that little man, I'm kind of in love with that Spaniard, and he... Best autograph, which I'm going to post on my Twitter, and I'll link to you, but he's signing the ticket, and he's like, oh God, I'm so nervous, and that's what he wrote on my ticket, was I'm nervous, and he signed it, which I thought was delightful. Best experience, though.
That's pretty
good. I
really
like, that is pretty good. Stakeland last year, the Midnight Madness for Stakeland was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I've heard. I wasn't at that one, but I've heard.
The movie was such a great ride, and when they get to their little end of the movie payoff, we erupted.
Well,
it was just. I don't want to spoil it.
The Promised Land is a wonderful place.
Is a wonderful place, and it was the perfect audience to show that wonderful place to. They could not have picked a better place to premiere that movie. And Michael Cerveris was awesome.
Nice. Well, I am on film 8 of 27. How are you doing?
Jeez, man. I'm on film 2 of 10. I have 3 tomorrow.
Very nice. So we both have a long week to go, and we do hope that you folks will tune back in for more of these. They're going to be coming fast and hard. There should be 4 or 5 more before we get to next Sunday. You can find them all in iTunes. You can find them on the website, thematinee.ca. You can find them on Blueberry, and they're all free, of course. You get alerts. If you want to read, I'm writing more than I'm recording, so if you want to catch any of my Film Fest coverage, go to www.thematinee.ca, and it's all there on the front page. But for now, at the Firkin, for Beth the Danger Girl, I'm Ryan McNeil. We'll see you at the matinee. It's a wicked